Welcome to The Real Fake News on KPCRadio.com, a critically sarcastic analysis of news. In this show, we will differentiate the real news from the fake, with help from comedians, college professors, advocates, and experts. In this episode, we'll discuss USC admissions corruption, Captain Marvel, socialist fever, and more. Today is Wednesday, March 27th. It is 1:44 p.m. I'm your host, Jesse Bertel. Joining me here today, we have L.A. comedian Jonathan Flanagan and community activist and organizer and producer and host of Lauren Steiner. And hello, Jonathan. How you doing?
All right. Thanks for having me.
How you doing, Lauren?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. So our discussion will be formatted as a game of real news, fake news, where I present real news stories or fake news stories, and I'll ask you questions about it. Sound good?
Sure.
Now that we know the rules, let's play the game. In real news, the LA Times reported that the largest college admissions scandal in U.S. history stretches across the country, but its epicenter is the University of Southern California, right here in our backyard. Rich people are able to buy success for their children. Is this surprising to anybody?
No.
Well, what do you guys think about this?
Well, I think it's an interesting scandal about USC singling them out as a university and some of these actresses singling them out as the cheaters. But in reality, I think the real news here is that rich people have been doing this for generations. And it's not in the form of out-and-out bribes and corruption. It's in the form of being able to pay for SAT counselors, extracurricular activities, tutors, summer programs, everything that people with money have that give them a leg up, even internships. Wealthy mm-hmm. students can afford to not work over the summer because their parents will pay for them. You know, poor students have to work. Yeah. So all these things that give them a leg up to get into college and get into jobs, it's been going on for decades, for generations.
Absolutely. What do you think, Jonathan?
I mean, yeah, that's all 100% true, I believe. I've worked through colleges. I went through a few of them.
Did you get to buy your way in?
No, I barely was able to pay for the parking passes.
What about Dr. Dre's backlash for celebrating his daughter actually getting in on her own? What do you think about this? A distraction? Any thoughts on that?
I didn't know he got backlash for that.
You guys didn't hear about that? No. Dr. Dre proudly tweeted that, you know, hey, my daughter got in and I didn't bribe anybody. And then immediately he was kind of, you know, shunned and kind of, I have to remove that tweet.
Well, you know, a lot of what they also do, rich people, short of out-and-out bribing, is they'll donate a building, they'll donate money afterwards. You know, colleges have always discriminate. They want to have athletes, they want to have celebrities' kids, they want to have legacy, you know, their parents went there. So the college admissions process is not a meritocracy mm-hmm. like they make it out to be.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, it sounds like we're ready to move on to the next story.
You're like a 1920s radio host.
Spin the wheel. In fake news, according to Mint Press News, the new Captain Marvel movie, which is now the highest grossing movie with a female lead ever, is military propaganda. Is this fake news?
Yeah, that sounds like a fake news article, but I mean, it is the biggest grossing, right? What female lead movie?
Right. So, I mean, so should we ignore the Pentagon's involvement in films so we can properly celebrate progressive breakthroughs in cultural representation?
Well, I'm having Ben Norton on my show tonight to talk about Venezuela, which is fake news in the way that the U.S. media is reporting it, and I'm going to be giving the real news. But I think Ben sort of overreacted to this one. I mean, I don't see superhero movies. That's for my son. He loves them. But I did see Black Panther, and I didn't get any of that stuff that he was talking about in Black Panther. I just saw the the drama and the spectacle. I didn't see the underlying political message. And being a political activist, I usually am tuned into that sort of thing.
But are you concerned at all with the interest that military takes in, publishing and films and music? And I mean,
every large corporation does that. So I don't think it's any different. They use military, U.S. military bases to film it on. They use U.S. military personnel to work on the film, as actors and consultants and things like that. So yeah, they had a little bit of a. They had some publication going in, some publicity, some corporate sponsorship. Like, who cares? There's corporate sponsorship in everything. The U.S. military, then stop. Then you know what? Then take the national anthem, take the flags, take the color guard out of the National Football Association, because they do that for every football game also. They pay for that in national football and sports around America also. So
what concerns me more is the military embedding itself in the news media. And they've been doing that since the first Gulf War. And the idea is to give you the perspective of the soldiers, of the army, and that's why you're more sympathetic to the mission. So when reporters become embedded and they require that sort of thing for access, to get their story, they become sympathetic to who they're embedded with. And that, to me, is a lot more concerning because that's supposedly real news as opposed to a fictional film that everybody knows is fiction.
Well, it sounds like this was a unanimously fake news story.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and play again. What's it going to be? Oh, real news! USA Today reports that Trump threatened Saturday Night Live with federal probe again. Obviously, mocking the president is not only protected free speech, but also a national pastime. So should a president have to have his feelings hurt?
I mean, he gets them hurt every time he threatens Melania with the probe, I'm sure. So...
Okay, I'm not going to touch that one.
It was a bit dark. but what do you think?
Come here, Melania.
Any thoughts on this story with Trump as far as free speech? What implications?
Oh, I mean, that's not going to go anywhere. He's just making a lot of noise like he always does. I mean, it's really sad that everything that he does is motivated by how he looks to the public. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, he's a malignant narcissist and, as Bernie always says, a pathological liar. So you just have to take what he's saying. Like, I always was saying as an activist, we need to credit him. We should call single-payer health care, we should call it Trump care, because he used to advocate for single-payer health care when he was a Democrat, when he was more liberal. So if we took it and we just said, oh, Trump care, this is great, you propose this wonderful program, that's the way to appeal to somebody like that. I pitched that to the nurses union, by the way, who are behind the single-payer bill, and they weren't so thrilled with that idea. They didn't want to give him credit for anything.
Yeah, anything you like, just put his name on it, and then he'll be like, okay, this is good, you know, just like his buildings, just put his name on it. And that's true, and he'll be behind it.
Well, I mean, obviously, this is an unusual presidency, but is it really presidential to be threatening, you know, our free speech
Saturday
rights?
Night Live.
Is anything he does presidential when you think about it? Anything?
I mean, it doesn't even help him, because anything he does is just going to cause more attention to that thing, which he's trying to, like, he wants to, like, shut down Saturday Night Live, and him calling out is just going to make people more interested in watching it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching Saturday Night Live again. I haven't watched it in decades because of Alec Baldwin doing Trump and, you know, Ben Stiller doing Michael Cohen. And, I should say I started watching it during the 2016 because, of course, Larry David doing Bernie and Kate, what's her last
McKinnon
doing Hillary. Yeah. So.
And then she did, what's his name, the Attorney General.
Oh, yeah,
Alabama.
Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Sessions,
oh,
yes.
That's so great. That's so great, where he comes out under the desk, you know.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live hadn't been funny for a little while until this administration came in, and suddenly...
So the world got sad, they got funny. Yeah.
There's a lot more to laugh about. Obviously, we could have had, you know, say Bernie Sanders or something. Would he have done something like this? I mean, would any other president have said something in this manner?
Well, I would say somebody like Richard Nixon might have. Because yeah. Richard Nixon was a little bit paranoid, and he didn't seem to have much of a sense of humor. But aside from him, in my the modern presidents in my lifetime, I can't think of anybody else who would have been, you know, upset by it.
Stalin, Nixon, things like that.
Yeah. Stalin's not our problem. Okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and play again. Oh, it's fake news. Okay, according to Yahoo Finance, Beto might be able to break the socialist fever. Is socialism a sickness that needs to be cured?
Oh my God, that is such fake news. That is such fake news. And Beto, all you have to do is look. I just saw some pictures that a professional photographer took the other day of the Bernie Sanders rally that was in Los Angeles. I mean, if you saw that crowd, it was like the Beatles. It went from, you know, the steps of City Hall, the overflow crowd, two city blocks up to the top of Grand Park. They tried to say there were only 15,000 people there, but that, you know, space holds 50,000 people. And I think that space was full. And this professional photographer took pictures of everybody, and they were smiling and laughing and high-fiving each other. And there was this really celebratory feeling about Bernie Sanders that you don't see at any rally, versus taking a look at Beto standing on a podium, you know, or no, standing on a bar.
Or on a car. He's always standing on something.
He's always standing on something.
Back by El Camino.
And you look at the faces of the people watching him, and they're all frowns. I've shared so many of these things on Twitter. There's like not a person, because they're not buying what he's selling. He's full of platitudes. And the thing about millennials, why they support socialism over capitalism, is capitalism isn't working for them, and it hasn't been for a long time. So when Bernie talks about the things that he talks about, which is healthcare and education and housing and a living wage and things that people really want and need, that's what they're calling socialism. But really what it is FDR-style Democrat. You know, it's FDR's second New Deal. The things that Bernie is talking about is what FDR wanted to provide had he lived, you know, through his fourth term. And, you know, Trump is going to make hay, and he's going to call it socialism. But really, Bernie's not talking about nationalizing major industries. No. He's not talking about taking your home from you or your business. It's really just what they have in Europe, which is social democracy, which is trying to decrease the vast wealth and income inequality that we've had over 40 decades of neoliberalism in this country.
Absolutely.
The problem with Bernie is that if he becomes president, he'll be the oldest president ever elected, right? And I think that's why Biden's holding out, because I think he really would rather be Bernie's vice president, because then you're guaranteed a presidency, right? I mean,
a guaranteed heart attack or something.
Yeah, I mean, he might even be assassinated, and not just because he's like agitator, but just because he's so old, it'd be easy to do.
I don't know. My grandma's 102, and she's still pretty quick. So you know, you never know how long someone's gonna make it.
Yeah. What's your grandma? What ethnicity is your grandma?
Oh, she's Dutch.
Dutch. Oh wow.
Dutch live a long time, I guess.
Yeah.
I think her aunt was like 112.
Denmark isn't like one of the like happiest people?
Yes, it is, because they're a social democracy and they have all those things.
Yeah, they're Danish. Danish. It's not Dutch, but it's close.
Yeah, I think
it's in Europe.
That's the area. They live the longest, I think, and they have the happiest like lifestyle over there too.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Bernie's age. I mean, you've seen pictures of him, you know, running through the airport.
Yeah.
You've seen pictures of him playing basketball. And just the other day, he hit his head on a glass shower door. He had a black eye. He had stitches and a big Band-Aid. And
is that what happened? I saw the Band-Aid.
Yes. And yet, he still went out and he did 3 rallies in a row. Actually, 4. In the morning on Saturday, he spoke to the Muslim Islamic Association down in Orange County. He was the first presidential candidate to come and speak to them. And then he did the LA rally, the day before he did the San Diego rally, the day after he did the San Francisco rally. And he's just amazing. He's got so much energy. He's in perfect health. unlike Trump with his doctor's report, which is fake news.
And Trump's about the same age. Isn't he only like two years younger anyway? So I don't know if he's the oldest president who was elected. But
Trump looks average for his age, but he looks terrible for a billionaire. Right? We have $1 billion.
Right.
You know, you think he could afford a personal chef and a personal trainer, right?
Lap band or something.
Stem cell therapy.
Yeah.
It's plastic surgery.
Although his money is all, it's not real.
Yeah, right? It's all credit.
He doesn't actually have any money. He just has a gold tower.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess we're ready for another story then. Sounds good. Okay, so in real news, according to Forbes, Trump claims that by limiting student loan access, his proposed changes to Higher Education Act would, quote, increase access to affordable, flexible, and innovative post-secondary education skills attainment to meet the interests and lifelong learning needs of every American. Is this a solution to the student debt crisis?
It's just like his health. It's just like every policy of his. It's like, oh, let's take this away, but then it has no like backup plan. So he wants to lower the amount you could loan, the amount you could borrow, so then you have less debt coming out. But they're not changing the price of anything. So once again, it's just going to make the rich people be able to get in and the poor people not be able to get in. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, how is reducing access to funding as tuitions rise going to help students who are willing to take on massive debt just to educate themselves and get a job?
I'll tell you how, because this is one thing where I agree with him. When I heard him at that press conference the other day talk about the cost of higher education, he has the problem correct. Mm-hmm. I don't know about his solution because I don't see enough specifics in that plan. But the fact of the matter is the reason the cost of tuition and fees have been rising so far above the rate of inflation is because of guaranteed student loans. The colleges push the kids to all these loan programs, and they know they're going to get their money. So there's no incentive for them to keep tuition costs low. And the sick thing about them is they are operating, they take that extra money that they're getting. They do not put it into smaller class sizes. They do not reduce the tuition. But what they do is they increase the number of high-level administrators, mm-hmm. the salaries of those high-level administrators, the salaries of the coaches. And also they build these fancy dorms with fitness centers and, you know, dining halls to attract these out-of-state students who are paying even more than the in-state students. So really, we have to do something to cut the rate of student loans. But in my mind, that's just a Band-Aid. What we should do is Bernie's program, which is free public college and public university, not Yale, not Harvard. Private colleges can still be there. But if you're a public institution and you are not paying taxes, like UCLA, UCLA used to be free or next mm-hmm. to nothing back in the day. And, you know, we need to have education from, you know, cradle or a preschool all the way through maybe even graduate school. Because, and then the other radical solution would be to absolve the student debt. Right now, there's $1.5 trillion worth of student debt. It's the second largest amount of debt out there aside from mortgages. If the government forgave that debt, right now the government is making $46 billion a year profit. So they shouldn't even be having an interest rate. They should loan it interest-free at the very least, but at the very most, they should forgive it. Because if they forgave $1.5 trillion of student debt, it would be the biggest stimulus program in U.S. history. Millennials would all of a sudden be able to get married, buy homes, start businesses, start spending money in the real economy. Because wealthy people don't spend their money, they hoard their money. And that's why stimulus programs, Keynesian economics really works. And prior to the Occupy movement, which I was involved in, they had ginned up this phony issue about the debt and the deficit. And Obama was about to cut Social Security. He would have been the first president, and a Democrat at that, to cut Social Security, one of the most popular socialist programs in U.S. history. So this is what we have to start looking at, you know? In this country, we have socialism for the rich, and And that's my phone. and rugged individual capitalism for everybody else.
Do you need to take a second?
I don't even know how to answer. This is a new phone. I don't even know how to turn it off. Okay, it stopped. I got this Samsung, you know. It's so complicated. I don't even know
it's
how to work.
It's got a mind of its own.
I totally picture like Bernie Sanders be giving like a dressing that's going to like, what is that? Is this phone going up? I don't know how to work this thing. I can totally see him doing that.
But. So what do you think about what she said there?
I mean, yeah, that's all makes sense. It's all pretty much true. Was it about the colleges?
Which part?
Lost. Yeah, it kind of went on for a minute.
Well, like
Social Security or college? Student debt crisis.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing is a fix. Like, we've expanded our society in America. It's gotten so big and so robust that there's nothing that's going to fix one thing. There was just too many. It's too complicated. Everything's so many things are case by case. Like, nothing's just going to be overall fixed for everything. But I think that it wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe do something with like mandatory military service at age 18. Now that I'm no longer of age to wear a service.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say.
But like they do in other countries where it's mandatory, and it's not that you're going to war, but you're doing service, and then that kind of provides free college as well as we'll pay for a lot of stuff like mm-hmm. that. Where, I mean, I think that would help a lot of things, for sure.
Mandatory military. I don't know. That's
don't
a little
agree.
Extreme for me, but
they're doing a lot of countries.
But although in the 60s that did work to get people to rally against war, because if you have to go to war, well then you don't want your children to be dying. You want your children.
Right.
To be,
I do think there should be.
Not about going to war. Not mandatory going to war.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Service.
Military service. But now. We're in constant war. So if you're in military service, you're going to be somewhere dangerous place.
I do believe there should be a return to the draft. And Charlie Rangel has been proposing that. He's a congressman from
That's
he's an
just
African...
about war, though. Draft, once again.
Right, because you will see
not
that senators'
war.
Sons and rich people's sons, we won't have wars if they have to go.
And do you think they'll go?
Well, a lot of them...
They get in the college... I mean, you say they get in the colleges for free.
Yeah.
You say they donate buildings, but then you also say
Trump
got out of it.
You say that the rich are donating to the buildings, but then you're also saying that the high price of college tuition is paying for those buildings. So which one is it? The rich people can get in the college, but they can't get out of a draft? Give me a break.
Well, some of them
Senator's
did.
Senators' sons aren't going to go in a draft. The draft is only during wartime. I'm talking about not war. We don't need to be in war, but just mandatory service for everybody, and that will...
But we are in war. We're in 7 wars now. Obama expanded Afghanistan and Iraq to include 5 more drone wars in Somalia and Pakistan. And, I mean, in Yemen, you know, we're trying to say that this is a Saudi war. We're financing this war. I'm going to be talking about this on my show.
See, and drone wars. These kids these days, they could fly a drone like nobody's business, I bet you.
And they're getting PTSD, these drone operators, even though they're not actually dropping the bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, they are actually dropping the bombs because they're dropping the bombs that are the drone bombs.
No, they are getting PTSD. That's real.
All right. Well, we got time for one more story.
That's kind of crazy. They are getting PTSD, and they're just because they're seeing it, and they're like just the fact that they're acknowledging that I just blew up a building, you know?
Okay, fake news. Mexico News Daily reports that Mexicans are stealing border wall materials to be used for home security. The old switcheroo. Is this a sign that the border wall's working?
It's working for Mexico.
It's working for their house.
They're not paying for it, but they're getting money for it.
They're getting nice government barbed wire. Like that's better than the little barbed wire you get on the Home Depot.
It makes good chicken wire, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Trump supporters totally inadvertently. I don't go out seeking Trump supporters, but I was in Florida visiting my elderly mother, and I was in Delray Beach, and there was a group of about 12 Trump supporters having a protest in favor of the wall. And when I talked to them, I was trying to figure out what motivates them. And so many of them were motivated out of fear. Mm-hmm. You know, studies have shown that conservatives have bigger amygdalas, which is the fear center in your brain. So I was asking, you know, just sort of impartial questions like, what's the most important issue to you? Thinking they would say health care or housing or whatever. And they said security, national security. Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? And they said, well, don't you know that 63,000 Americans have been killed by illegal aliens, by the M13 gang? And I'm like, where do you get this information?
That's fake
you know?
News. Like, what?
I mean, and this is what they're, oh, no, somebody in my complex, I know, and she was raped, and she was beaten, and, you know, and it was the illegals.
Too much Fox will do that to you, I think.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
they just confused the numbers. It was like, so how many was it, 60,000? 60,000 yards have looked immaculate because of illegal immigrants.
Yeah. This part looks great.
60,000 hedges have been perfectly even. And yeah, great landscaping is what they meant to say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really sad. And then even just the other day, I was covering the Uber strikers. You know, the Uber and the Lyft drivers are striking. And then 2 days ago, they had a 1 day strike. And, you know, I was talking to people. I would say half of them were Bernie supporters and the other half were Trump supporters.
I'm an Uber driver. And I refused to drive because I heard about the strike, so I guess I'm on strike.
Yeah, I mean, this one guy was telling me, you know, they take services for Americans, and at the hands-off Venezuela protest, there was a woman whose mother emigrated from Mexico. This Uber driver's parents emigrated from Guatemala, but they made the distinction that they emigrated legally. See, they don't care. They say, oh, we're all for legal immigration, but not illegal. And that's what they have them brainwashed to think, that these illegals, as they call them, illegal aliens.
Undocumented immigrants.
Right. Thank you. I say you can't call a person illegal. And they're, well, that's what they are.
Yeah, well, they used to.
I'm seventh generation Californian. You guys are both illegal, so get out of here. That's
yeah, I'm from New York, so I'm definitely illegal.
Well, I guess we'll end on that. Unfortunately, we are out of time. But before I go, I'd like to give you both a chance to tell our listeners where they can find out more about you. Lauren, would you like to go first?
Sure. I do my show, The Robust Opposition, on my Facebook page, and you can find me at facebook.com. Lauren.Steiner.LA. My Twitter handle is Lauren_Steiner, and my YouTube page is Lauren from LA.
And Jonathan?
I host a show called Trigger Warning the third Thursday every month at Geeky Tees and Games in Burbank. It's a really cool spot. Check that out. Follow me on Instagram at John Flanney, JonFlanny. Oh, and realgoodcomedy.com. Check that out.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for joining me today here on The Real Fake News. I appreciate you being here.
Yes, and tonight I'm talking to Lucas Korner and Ben Norton about Venezuela and all the socialist governments the U.S. has thwarted over the past couple of decades in Latin America.
All right. Well, thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We are off next week for spring break, but tune in the following Wednesday, April 10th. My guests will be comedian Mark Hurtado and Encino Council member Jason Ackerman. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at Jesse Bertel. Tune in to The Real Fake News every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. on kpcradio.com and the following day on YouTube.